This is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We see again today, as we saw last Sunday, a bright being, snow white, crystal, gleaming with sunlight. Not an angel, though, as at Fatima, but the angel of great counsel, Jesus. What are you doing? Remember, the angel said that to the children out back by the well last week. But they weren't sinning. They were just playing in the backyard. But the hearts of Jesus and Mary had a plan, designs of mercy for them. A wealthy Austrian nobleman who loved hunting above all, as he lay dying, said, "When God asks me to render an account of my life, what shall I answer? I can only say, Lord, I have killed rabbits and rabbits and rabbits, and nothing more. It is really too insignificant." Caravaggio hunts rabbits, baby bunnies actually. Puccini does as well. It's their instinct. They know no better. They're cats. But perhaps for us Catholics, there's something else that we ought to be about. You know, our Lord was praying, and the three chosen disciples were snoozing as today's gospel starts. It was the light, or perhaps snippets of the conversation, Moses and Elias going over the details of Christ's death, what St. Luke calls his exodus, that woke them up. The glimpse of glory that day afforded the three there the cloud, the Father's voice, "Hear ye him," the miraculous apparition of the Old Testament prophets too. They were all means to shore them up against the scandal, that little stone that makes you trip, the scandal of the coming passion, lest we be done in by the enormous suffering of it all, and miss or mess up the merciful design of God, our sanctification. You see, we really are called to be holy, but we're like Catholics who show up for Easter Sunday all done up and ready to celebrate, having skipped Good Friday and missed most of Lent. But when the roll is called over yonder, the two-part plan some people buy into, it doesn't work anymore. What is our sanctification? Too few Christians have even the faintest conception. They seem to think there's sort of a double-track program in place for heaven. First, those who embrace suffering, or at least intend to accept it, and do honor the Passion of Christ and the sorrows of His Blessed Mother as leading us to heaven. And then there are those, everybody else, who strive not to suffer at all, ever. But if I fast, I get hungry. And Sunday's the only day I can rest. And church is just too much work. But it behooved Christ to suffer and so to enter into his glory. In a word, well, think opposable thumbs. Deliberate mortification, or deliberate avoidance of anything that hurts or irks. Talk about a plan. They seem to believe in an easygoing, comfortable kind of Christianity, supremely manageable in the midst of a busy daily life. Well, yes, I guess it is Friday, but please pass the pepperoni pizza. I'm having another piece. This has to be one of the hallmarks of the new religion, the Novus Ordo. Everything is easy. And that's why it is so popular. Whereas the other kind is austere, crucifying. The Novus Ordo got rid of the crucifixes after the changes. But it's for you, traditional Catholics, to have gotten rid of the stations of the cross. They're almost dead. That kind of religious practice, I'll say, well, that's for fanatics. Well, maybe a pious priest, or nuns in general, yes, but it's not for me. Well, what is for you? This business of penance and of reparation had better be. And why? Because God wants it. We've abused our free will to sin, impurity and dishonesty in business are the two mentioned by St. Paul today because they were popular sins with the Thessalonians of old. They still are today. But you know, there are 10 stop signs blocking the exits off the road that alone leads to life, the commandments. Now, we have to use our freedom. We are free to repay God the love we have stolen from him by sin. When we sin, what happens? Well, let's review. We incur a guilt which separates us from God somewhat or entirely, depending on how serious is our sin, a mortal sin or a venial sin. Secondly, when we sin, we deserve punishment for the offense the disorder has caused by our sinful conduct. So what is penance? Penance is repentance. Repentance. We have to make it. It removes the guilt. It enables us to get good with God again. The act of contrition. Going to confession. Well, that's penance. So what is reparation? Reparation, that's the suffering and that's the pain which we must endure to make up to a certain degree for the damage we did by our self-indulgence in sinning. All of us. Now, nobody likes to hear this, much less actually to carry it out, but as the old gospel preacher said, grace is free, but it ain't cheap. What do penance and reparation have in common? Both are absolutely necessary to satisfy the divine justice. But the difference is this: too much self-love equals sin. Penance puts us right again with God. How? By a selfless love of God, as we pray in the act of contrition, but most of all because I have offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. But there's something left still. There's still something I owe. And that something is addressed or paid by reparation. We've brought disorder into our little world by sin, and now we have to undergo suffering to undo the damage we have caused. You break it, you buy it. The other Donald, Rumsfeld, I mean, do you remember him? He used to call this the pottery barn rule. And it's true. It's a bit like, speaking of Rumsfeld, war and war reparations. The Germans say we're made to pay very high, exorbitant war reparations after World War I. They say the only purpose that served was to kindle the fires for the Second World War. And the endless reparations, another example, that are paid to the Jews still today by Germany and by the United States as well. This is an example of reparations, the paying of compensation for some real or claimed offense. To repair, reparation, to repair means to put a thing that's broken into good working order again, good condition. But if the damage has destroyed the object, well, then you have to pay for it. Remember the pottery barn rule. And that's called compensation. But in the moral sphere, we're not talking money. How could we? Well, many do. The organized forces of naturalism, they worship it. They make it their god. So everything has to be expressed in financial terms. But this comes from people who do not believe in God. And their churches are banks and law courts. But consider this. When injury is sustained, the equivalent is only given or paid back by suffering, even death, the giving of a life. This truth, it's called vindictive justice, is almost gone from the popular mentality today. How can order be reestablished? That's where prison comes in. That's where capital punishment has its place. These are very Catholic concepts. Some penalty has to be inflicted upon the evildoer or self-imposed. Pleasure, wrongful, hurtful, damaging, has disturbed order, God's order, and therefore man's peace. Now, the moral equilibrium, the balance, has to be reestablished. How? Through pain. This is the third kind of reparation. We call it expiation. And like repair and reparations, it can be offered either by the guilty party himself or by an innocent who steps forward to do the work, like the Lamb of God did our work for us. The work that has been left undone by the guilty goats. As did our Lord, as do what they call victim souls still today. As you and I, if we live the gospel and the Fatima message, do a life of reparation. Everything is broken today. What are you doing? Sleeping? Hunting rabbits? Or talking, just talking, rambling on like St. Peter about building tents or something? Shh! The voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And this is his will, your sanctification. This is his plan. There are merciful designs on you. Everything is in ruin today. Even our money, which they worship, with which they claim we must right every wrong, they have debased. Why? Because people are always degrading and reinventing the gods they make for themselves. This ruin is the result of revolt since the beginning. Lucifer, calumniating in Vatican II. and we wander around the wreckage, tripping over the debris, wondering what we should do first. Such confusion. That's why we should be gentle with one another. We must repair. Now, what is it again to repair? To repair is to restore. To repair is to compensate. To repair is to expiate. At the end of the gospel, our Lord takes the road again to Jerusalem. And it's not a double track. There's one road leading him there. He silences the apostles and he takes them along. And where is he going? To Jerusalem. To die. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.